a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey.
He had what it took, have you? In this mechanical age, we transfer turns from machines to men. When a tractor is put on the testing field to bounce over logs and grind its clutch while chained to a stump, the verdict is given that it has what it takes, or else it hasn't. We should also remember that the demands of these last days of pressure are much more than in former days. This accounts for many breakdowns as people try to have what it takes but fail to make the grade, and their health breaks under the strain. And we all know that the days ahead will be more severe, and then we must all face that greatest test when we meet death, the king of terrors. To have what it takes will really be on the testing block then. Neighbor, with such a prospect, let's be practical. These are no days for religious philosophies or religious arguments. We need what it takes, and no maybe so either. If one nation captured a plane that had what it took, they would disassemble it to see what made it so wonderful so they could produce that kind too. So I will bring before you a man who had what it took, and then we will see that man in his breakdown, part by part, to discern what made him so different from others. In the early days of Christianity, the believers were not being nursed on cushion pews, but were thrown into jails and put to death. Christianity was really on the testing block, and in those days there was a man named Stephen. He was just a common run of men. He was no Superman. There was nothing noteworthy in his genealogy, and so we do not even know his father's name. As to his education and training, he had no degree, nor could he boast, as did others, of being trained by any noted master of his day. If ever we looked on just another man, that was Stephen, from every natural angle. Now we will see Stephen on the testing block. In the face of much persecution, he took his stand as a disciple of Jesus Christ, and soon he was spotted by the Lord's enemies. They challenged him in public places. Five groups ganged up against him, but he answered them with wisdom that was so convincing they looked like idiots. And yet he spoke with such grace and humility. It was thrilling to hear and see, and the crowd that gathered to scorn him had to admit that Stephen had what it took to defeat all that religious gang. But those men, like envious and infuriated devils, went and got some low-down liars to accuse Stephen of railing on Moses and of cursing God. Using these to arouse the people, they soon gathered a mob that dragged Stephen to their religious council, where the witnesses multiplied their accusing lies. Stephen's enemies were his judges, and such filled the courtroom. Not a friendly eye could he see. Truly, Stephen alone, stripped of friends and fellow believers, was really on the testing block. If he stands up under that test, he must really have what it takes. As all looked on him with hatred, his face did not retaliate, but a heavenly light beamed from it, so he looked like an angel. When license was given him to speak for himself, he was not ruffled nor afraid, nor did he say anything about himself, but he preached a sermon that was a masterpiece. Read it in Acts chapter 7 in your Bible. He was so fearless that his sermon was a complete denunciation of man as always resisting God and refusing his servants, and then to climax his rebellion, murdering God's Son, Jesus Christ. He showed how men stoop to worshiping their idols instead of their Creator, the living God. He proved that man as a race was descending deeper into wickedness and departing further from God with every generation as it got worse and worse. Denouncing the wickedness of their fathers, he showed that they had done worse than their parents. His sermon upheld the men of God in every generation as he showed them to be hated and despised. And with the courage of a prophet of God, he concluded his sermon with these words: Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have you not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it, with the blood of God's Son so fresh on their hands, even as they had cried, His blood be on us and on our children, and it was. They could not deny Stephen's charges. So, like mad dogs and with gnashing teeth, yelling and whooping, they rush on Stephen, putting their hands on their ears, refusing to hear more, and dragging him out of the city limits, they surround Stephen and they stoned him to death. And right then we read this of Stephen. He, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Neighbor, if you and I had witnessed that scene, even if we had been numbered with those furious enemies of Stephen, we would have both said, I never saw anything like that. He really had what it took. I wonder what made him that way. Now let us break down that man Stephen and see. First, Stephen had a divine power in him that made his message so wonderful. That power was the very one they resisted, the Holy Spirit of God. Neighbor, that is what it took for Stephen, and that is what it takes for you and me. We must have the Holy Spirit within us as we have been born of the Spirit of God. Have you been born again, born of God, as the Bible says? Such are indwelt by God the Holy Spirit, and He gives them power to live for God, power to break loose from their old sins and habits, and power to witness for Christ even before His toughest enemies. Second, Stephen had the grace of God in his heart. When they ganged up to kill him, he did not curse them, nor cry down God's wrath on them, but he prayed for God's mercy. Surely the love of God was shed abroad in his heart. Now such is not natural to any man. That's why we need to be changed and made new creatures in Christ Jesus. Our old, hateful, revengeful hearts need to be made anew, so we shall show the true grace of God. Neighbor, have you the grace of God in your heart? That's what it takes to be a real Christian, a Christian at heart, not just a Sunday sweet and a Monday mean church member. Third, Stephen had a personal love for the Lord Jesus, his living Savior. Hear him speak of him. I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. His Jesus was not a dead Jew, but the living Lord in heaven, a real man in the glory. He knew him. He loved him. That's what made Stephen what he was. Neighbor, do you know the Lord? Do you love Jesus? Have you had that personal experience with a man at God's right hand? Is he your Lord and your Savior so that you can call him in loving devotion, Lord Jesus? That's what it takes, neighbor. Without having Jesus Christ as your very own, you haven't got what it takes to live for God in these last days, nor what it takes to face death in eternity. Be sure you know and love the Lord Jesus and can confess, I am my Lord's and He is mine. Fourth, Stephen was willing to suffer for the Lord Jesus. When he saw they were set to kill him, he didn't call someone to run and tell Pilate, and he would have arrested them. Stephen would gladly suffer and even die for the Lord Jesus. Our Lord insisted that for one to be his disciple, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow him. That step Stephen had taken, and when the test came, he was willing to lay down his life for the Lord Jesus, the one who had laid down his life for Stephen. Neighbor, have you counted the cost of being a disciple of Jesus Christ and decided to take up your cross in life and in death and follow him come what may? That's what it takes. Fifth, Stephen was not afraid to die. He had peace. He didn't get scared. He didn't call for a priest, a rabbi, or a pastor to come and help him die. How utterly worthless is a religion that makes one depend upon the presence of a priest or a pastor or some religious ritual in the hour of death. Stephen had peace with God. His sins were all forgiven, and he knew it. He was a born-again child of God, and the Holy Spirit was in him. He was as ready to die as he was prepared to live. Now, neighbor, have you this peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, as the Bible speaks of it? If you knew you would die and enter eternity in 5 minutes, could you say, "Welcome, eternity. Jesus is mine." And as Stephen, look up to heaven and say, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Stephen really had what it takes. But have you? That religious man, Saul of Tarsus, who later became Paul the Apostle, as he saw Stephen die, even though he was then the ringleader of that lynching gang, yet a voice within Saul said, "Saul, Stephen had what it took, but you haven't, and you know it." And that voice kept pricking Saul till he too was changed by Christ on that Damascus road. Before Stephen's death, Saul had an ambition to become the greatest in the Jews' religion, but all that faded away before Stephen's greatness, a greatness in suffering, and yet a triumph and victory which even a world conqueror might well envy. Neighbor, you may never be a great preacher like Stephen, but you can have what made Stephen what he was. If you will now receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to trust him, obey him, and to love him. It was Jesus who made Stephen what he was, and he will make you what you need to be. When you have Christ, you will have the Holy Spirit and the grace of God in your heart. You will have what it takes to live in these days of pressure and to die in peace and triumph. Amen. In Stephen, we have seen demonstrated before men and angels real Bible Christianity when put on the unmerciful test of being stoned to death. And since Stephen's day, no less than millions of Christians have been torn to pieces by lions, pulled apart by cruel torture machines, and have burned alive at the stake for their testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they love. They, too, demonstrated they really had what it took. You and I may never be put to the test of martyrdom for Christ, but have we what it takes? What does it take in this life here, in the hour of death, and in that great forever? I will condense it to three essentials. First, since no one can see or enter God's heavenly kingdom except as he's born again, examine yourself in God's presence with this question: when was I born again by the Spirit of God and made a new person in Christ? When? If your searching is vain and you have never experienced this heavenly birth, then read John chapter 3 in your Bible and rest not until you know that you have been born again. Second, since the only way of entrance into God's heaven is by the blood of Jesus, ask yourself what that sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, means to you. It will not do with God for you to simply believe that blood was given by Christ in behalf of a world of sinners. You must turn in repentance of your many sins and resign the world and forsake all that you have vainly trusted in to help you find favor with God, and confess to God that your entire and only dependence and faith is in the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, to cleanse you from your sins, to deliver you from this wicked world, and to separate you from all those religious idols in which you had trusted. Third, since in the day of judgment the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the judge, will say to some, "I never knew you, depart from me," as he consigns them to the eternal fire, you must have a personal, wholehearted experience with the living Lord Jesus as you surrender to him to be your Lord, to obey and put your faith in him alone as your Savior, and worship him, crying, "My Lord and my God." And as you thus receive him, he responds to your confession with his assuring word, "I have received thee to be mine, and to bear my name, to be in my church and in my kingdom forever." Neighbor, I declare unto you these three essentials after more than 60 years of careful Bible study as I've been taught of the Holy Spirit of God. This is what it takes for you and for me. Nothing less will do, and nothing more is needed. First, be sure you've been born again. Second, and your faith is only in Jesus and His blood. And third, you have, alone in God's presence, had that personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, as you have received Him, and He has received you to be His own forever. This is what it takes, and this will stand in life, and when you face death in eternity, you will not falter and fear, but like Stephen, you will depart to be with Christ. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through His bondservant, David Brinkman.